Okay, al nu simen halacha, al nu simen klal samach, klal samach, samach vav. Okay, bedin beeze inyan v'tikun mutar l'tatul muksa v'tam v'lam ashu muksa. When are you allowed to be metatul muksa? So we, until now we learned all the different types of muksa, many different types of muksa. Muksa machmas atzme, machmas mitzvah, machmas mios, kli shem lachta liyaser. We learned all the different types of muksa, all different categories. Now we're going to learn, even though something indeed is muksa, even though something is muksa. Oh, great, that's it, you got it, that's it, okay, good. Okay, even though something indeed is muksa, there are times when you are allowed to move the muksa, you're allowed to handle muksa. And really what's more important is why muksa is us. Why are you not allowed to metal for muksa? Okay. Hamukse afal pish asa betotal yeshmahem divam shem hani vachem machshav. Even though mutter is asa, and that's a given. Even though you're not letting him tattle muksa, yeshmahem divam, there are some objects which are muksa. The mahani vachem machshav may have Shabbos, that if you plan in advance to use these things on Shabbos, then you will be permitted to move these things on Shabbos. However, the yeshmahem shetshrichim ezetik, and some things require more than just a thought. There are things which require that you actually do something physical to the object in order that it should be considered prepared so that you can be metal to them on Shabbos. The yesh mehem deloy ma'ani shum tikkun. You can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want to the object. It's not going to make a difference. When the day is over, you're not going to be allowed to move this object on Shabbos. The yesh mehem sha'enem tshichim afilu machshava. Fourth category, you do not need to do anything. Automatically, even though these things by definition are muksa, but it will come Shabbos, if you need to move it, you can move it in the normal way. Okay, now we're talking about moving muksa in a normal way. We're not talking about using your elbows, kicking it, we're talking about picking it up with your two hands and moving it the way you would normally move it. So he has over here, laid out over here, four different types of categories. Things which no matter what you do, it's not going to make a difference, it will remain muksa. Things that you do not need to do anything, and you can be metal to them on Shabbos, even though they are really muksa, but in certain situations, you can move them. And then there are things which you have to prepare in advance, either with a machshava, a thought alone is enough, and some things you actually must do something physical. And the reason why we have four different categories all depends on why this object is muksa. As we learned last week, there are many different types of muksa. Each one has its own unique reasons. Even though some objects, now is already going into the reason, even though some you would think the reason why you're not allowed to metalkal an object on Shabbos is because you may come to do an avera. If I go and I pick up a hammer, if I'm allowed to pick up a hammer, so while I'm picking up a hammer, moving it around from one location to another location, oh, look at that. There's a nail that's sticking out on the wall. I might as well take the hammer and bang it into place. That's the most obvious reason why Chazal stepped in and said you're not allowed to be metaltal muksa. If you're allowed to pick up a kli, shemelachtoi le'iser, like a hammer. Hammer is used to do a melacha de'irais of binyan. If it's in the way, it's lying there on the floor, I want to move it, not in the way, I want to move it, I want to take it from this room to the next room. While I'm taking it from this room to the next room, I'll pass the doorway, I'll notice the door is not always so perfect. Now Shabbos, what better day than to get involved and do all of the loose ends, all of the things that need tikkun, I'll bang the mezuzah a little bit loose, I'll bang the mezuzah nice and tight into the doorpost. That's the melacha de'iraisa. Bang a nail into a post melacha derais. That's why mezuzah, that's why muks is asr. But that's not the only reason. Because there are things that if you'll use these utensils, you'll never come to Mechal Shabbos, not derais of Lomid Rabbanan. V'yatam sh'ashu kosar Rambam. So here we get into the reasons. Every sefer muksa begins with all of the various reasons why muks is asr. V'zel l'sha'nai. U'ma'im hisir hanavim shalo yehi hiluchach b'shabbos k'shel kol. Which says in the pasuk, that the Nevi'im, Yeshaya said that on Shabbos you're not allowed to your hiluch b'Shabbos k'shel chol, you're not allowed to travel on Shabbos the same way you travel during the weekday. For example, you can't compare this to the tchum more than 2,000 amos. And you're not allowed to mimotzi chafsecha. We'll see in a moment. But there are things that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos like you do during the weekday. V'loy sichas Shabbos k'shel choil. You're not allowed on Shabbos v'daber davar. Your speech on Shabbos must be different than your speech during the weekday. Kal v'choymer shelo yiye tiltul Shabbos k'tiltul shel choil. The things that you handle on Shabbos should not be the same things that you handle during the weekday. So it's an extension from a pasuk. Mimotzei chefsecha umidaber davar. There's an isser from the Nevi'im that you're not allowed to travel, to conduct yourself, mimotzei chefsecha, to move things from one place to another place on Shabbos, and from speaking in a certain fashion on Shabbos. So by extension, you're not allowed to be metaltel muksa either. Kadesh lo yeh be'enav kiyoyim chol. V'yavoy l'sakein l'agbiya kelim mipina l'pina mibayis l'bayis l'atzniya avonim l'chayot zebo. So you should not on Shabbos do things that you do during the weekday, move things around, and store stones l'chayot zebo sh'ray yoshay bebeis l'batol. You're sitting in your home bottle, umavake shtavel sasekbo, Shabbos, you can't go online, you can't go and do all these things. So what are you going to do already on Shabbos? So you'll start moving things around, you'll start organizing your house and starting with tatal muksa. V'nimsa sheloi shavas, it will then result that you have not fulfilled Shabbos, the spirit of the day has not been fulfilled. Ubitel atam shekosta b'torah l'man yenuach, the Torah says you shall rest, period. Okay, that is answer number one. Number two, another reason why Muksa is also the oath, kishivaker, v'yitadol kelim shemachtam l'isser. What about utensils which are used for malacha? Evsher sheisasik b'chem ma'at v'yevul dey malacha. Like our example, if you are permitted to pick up a hammer, you may by mistake come to bang in some nails. Number three, the oath, number three, mimnei shemiksas o'am heim tayolim v'yoshrei kronos. There are people in Klal Yisrael that do not have a job. They have no occupation. The whole yimayim him yishovsim mimalacha. The whole week they do not do any malacha. The yimayim mutu leilich ladabel latatal b'kshayim. If they're able on Shabbos to do exactly what they're doing the weekday, nimsa shloshavas shvisa haniskeres. There is no difference for them Shabbos and the weekday. Ulefich therefore shvisa b'dvarim elu, not touching things which are muksa, is a fulfillment. Elu he shvisas hashav b'chol echad. This will force everyone, even people who do not have an occupation, not to be a Shabbos, will be different. And that's why Chazal say you only can metaltel things which are necessary. Things that are not necessary are in the category of muksa. Ad kan l'shoyne, these are the words of the Rambam. Okay, so far we've learned over here from the Rambam three reasons why one is not allowed to be metaltel muksa on Shabbos. Number one, it's a kal v'choymer from the pasuk in Navi, mimotzei chefsecha midaber davar. If Torah says that Shabbos has to be different in the respect of how you conduct yourself in regard to walking and in regard to speaking, certainly it should be different in regard to what you handle. Number two, you may come to be mechal Shabbos by taking a yuklis shemalachtoi li'isser. Number three, for people who do not have an occupation in during the weekday, there has to be some difference for them between Shabbos and the weekday. The Ravid, kasav atam, another reason. Mishum geder hoitzan. This is a very popular reason. This reason is probably the most popular why you're not allowed to talk to muks on Shabbos. And that's because once you are already allowed to pick up anything that you want, it's very easy to forget yourself and walk into the Rishus HaRabim. Haitzah is a malacha gorua. From all of the 30 types of malacha, the weakest malacha is Haitzah. All of the 38 of the 39 malachas, there is creative labor. There is a transformation. An object starts off in one state, and after you do the malacha, the object has been transformed into a different state. Binyan, you've constructed something. You have demolished something. You have lit a fire. You have planted. You are changing the state of an object. Chaitzah is called a malacha gorua. It's weak. Why? The object is exactly the same before and after. The only difference is you have transported it from location A to location B. Being that I have not made any change in the object itself, it's very difficult to understand why the Torah would forbid one from doing this on Shabbos. That's indeed why Tosfos says the first malacha mentioned in Masechta Shabbos is the malacha of Chaitzah. because Haitzah is a weak melacha. It's hard for the mind to understand why a person should not be allowed to transport something from one location to the other, because the purpose of Shabbos is meleches machshavos. You're coming to creative labor. There is no creative labor. Yet the Torah says, even Haitzah is forbidden. As an extension of Haitzah, Chazal said, don't move things around. Because once you're permitted to pick up something, it's very easy to forget yourself and go to the next level and take that object and walk into the street. A person was allowed to move around his telephone on Shabbos, his smartphone on Shabbos, cell phone, so once I can pick it up, put it in my pocket, because I don't want it to be lying over here, you'll forget yourself. Before you blink, you're not going to realize you're out the door, you're in the street. You've taken it from Rosh Yochid to Rosh Hashanah. So every law, every prohibition of Muksa is an extension of the rules of Haitzah. You may come to carry in the street. This is a very popular reason. According to this logic, it's not clear. We do not merit to understand the reason why Chazal differentiated why some types of muksa Chazal were lenient, and why some types of muksa Chazal were stringent. The nearly lechayis of oitam. Now, before he conclude, winds down. The chayyim gives a fifth reason for muksa. Shekevan shiroi chacham leesra hamuksa mitam haniskalim samchu devei malapasik veichinu es shayaviu. It says in the pasuk, "You shall prepare that which you bring forth." The ika aman the amar begamar mi pasuk zed the muksa hu de araisa. There is an opinion that holds that muksa is not the rabbanis the araisa. The kevan shlohayu mukham erev Shabbos. If something has not been prepared before Shabbos. We do not accept this halacha l'maisa. We do not hold that muksa is deraisa. We hold it's derabanan. Mikol makom smach gadol samchul al pasuk zeshli yitaltel ella masha hu muchan may erev Shabbos oy mimela o shehechin b'machshava b'maisa. Either it's prepared by thought or automatically or b'maisa b'chol davar lefi tashmishai. V'zeh atam li'atzmo d'aminu nigu diskatsula ben hashmasha diskatsula kol yuma. They came to limhayu muchan may erev Shabbos. That's the lumness of something that is muksa ben hashmasha muksa. And that's why we go and make differentiations in all the different types of muksa, which leads into halacha base. So before we go to halacha base, we over here, he has presented for us over here many, many yisoidas. Let's work backwards. There are a total here of five reasons why the Rabbanon prohibit muksa. Number one, the Rambam says, because it's a kal v'chomer from the words of the pasuk, mimotzi chefsecha midavidavar. Number two, you may come to a molocha d'oiraisa. Number three, people who do not have any occupation and they have a leisurely life, there has to be some difference between the weekday and Shabbos. Number four, the rival, you may come to carry the object into the street. And number five, it's based upon the pasuk, v'hichinu eis asher yavinu. It's a gzeres hakosav, it's nasmachta. For Shabbos, everything you're going to use for Shabbos has to be prepared. It must be prepared in advance. Obviously, it doesn't take much chokhmah to realize that these reasons, each one of these reasons opens up for you a whole new dimension in appreciating the sanctity of Shabbos. Each one of these reasons is a whole new world. If you're dealing with the reason, you may come to do malacha. It's very logical. Don't be metaltal an object. I may come to do malacha. The Torah says that the olam mites melachos are usur on Shabbos as an extension of melacha, don't touch. Okay, that's the melacha. Then we have the reason of, it's the spirit of the day. The spirit of the day. That was the third reason. The spirit of the day is, really, it's really number one, it's number three. They're really very similar. Number one, number three is very similar. Is that the Chazal want the day to be a different type of day. It has nothing to do with melacha. Just appreciate it. Shabbos Kodesh, you should be involved on this day in focusing on Hashem. Then the other reason is Haitzah, is carrying. Okay, that's a whole new dimension. It's not Malacha. It's there is one particular Malacha which is very weak in our eyes because you're not really doing any, and you're not really making any change. And also on Yom Tov, you're like carry. So it's all an extension to the Mechazek one particular halacha of Haitzah. And the fifth reason is very fascinating because it extends to the week. The laws of Muksa, according to reason number five, it takes you to Chol, that on Shabbos, you have to remember, it's not just that the sun sets and suddenly Shabbos is thrust upon you. Shabbos is the whole week. Every single day we say, Hayoim Yoim Rishoin b'Shabbos. Shabo hayu halalim ayim beis hamidrash hayom yom sheni b'Shabbos. Every single day when you busy yourself, you already have to start preparing and looking forward to Shabbos. The glow of Shabbos lasts for 3 days after it's over. That's why you can make Havdalah when Shabbos is over. And the Hachana for Shabbos begins really 3 days in advance. On Wednesday, we say Luchu Niranam. One of the main reasons why we say in the Yom, at the end of the Yom, Luchu Niranam Hashem, Neril Tzur Yishen, is because it's the third day before Shabbos, already the Hachana prepares. So it's very fascinating. We have really five reasons. I have a hard time really differentiating between reason number one and number three. Number one is the pasuk Mimotzei Chefsecha Midaber Davar. Number three, people of leisure. To me, and it's hard. They have to be splitting here is the chilik between these two reasons. They're very, very similar, but in concept, it's that Shabbos is a day to focus on spirituality, not on our survival, our physical survival. And then again, the ask of Malacha, the element of only of Chaitzah, and this the idea of that Shabbos is a day that requires preparation. If you don't prepare for Shabbos, you're not going to have anything for Shabbos. The whole Shabbos comes from the preparation. As they say to the Gilm today, is that what's the Churban of this generation? It's not Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, today we won. All the laws have been passed. That no one's going to force you to, you're not going to lose your job because you're a Sabbath observer. It's not going to happen. Baruch Hashem, we live this tolerance, Chesed Hashem, Medina Shel Chesed. You can observe Shabbos. So what is lacking today? The Hachana for Shabbos. It's a very big nisayon to properly prepare for Shabbos, not to walk into Shabbos at the very, very last moment. It's an avodah for a person to prepare for Shabbos on Friday, certainly, and by extension, to prepare to the outlook for Shabbos the whole week leading up to Shabbos. And a lot of these ideas, okay, at least the last idea of Muksa, it's a very powerful idea. That's what Muksa is all about. V'yichinu eis asher yaviyu. It hits upon the theme of Hachana for Shabbos. Halacha base. Now,
the leftover of the food for the Thursday.
Yeah.
It can be used on Shabbat.
Say it again.
Leftover food of the Thursday.
On Thursday. So you want to
use
it. You do whatever you want. Why not?
It's not a thing.
What?
It's not a thing for Shabbat.
I don't understand. Thursday night, you have leftover food, you want to use it on Shabbos, so who's stopping you? Who's stopping you? It's on a different level, so it's not, obviously, it's not ideal. There are different levels. Obviously, there is a special hachana, special of a Shabbos, and you just mean leftovers. Okay, let's go further. Halacha base. Also, these five reasons, I think what he's alluding to is that these five reasons are going to have nafka minus each, because there are many different types of muksa. That's what we spent last week on. There are many different types of muksa. And now we're going to learn primarily in this siman all of the exceptions. Even though something is muksa, you can still move it in a normal way if you meet certain conditions. So the different types of muksa and the reason for the exceptions all fit in better with each one of the five reasons. When you look at a type of muksa and you look at the exception, oh, well, if the time of muksa is because of haitzah, it makes sense. But if the time of muksa is because of the spirit of Shabbos, it doesn't really make any sense. Einachanami, we need the five different reasons to understand all the different types of muksa and all the different types of exceptions. Base, kol kisvei kodesh v'acholim ma'amashkin. First type of muksa that doesn't exist. It's never muksa. Kisvei kodesh, sefarim, a sefer. V'acholim ma'amashkin, food and drink. Even though you have designated these things for business, I'm selling a shas. I have boxes of a box of sidurim, a box of chumashim. I have a new Talmud. I'm planning on selling it. Or I have food. I'm in the business of mishloach manos, and this food is being set aside for business. Afal pi sheyichadon l'schayr kevan sheim lutzurch Shabbos. Right now, I need this food emergency. I need the food for Shabbos, or I need to learn. I need a siddur to daven from on Shabbos, even though it was set aside for business. I did not say, you know what? In the basement, I have a box of sidurim that I was planning to sell to the local bookstore, and that's what my intent was. And Shabbos began, and now it's Shabbos morning, and suddenly we need to make a minyan here. And now, can I take that box of siddum in the basement? Yes. But before Shabbos began, I did not have a machshava to use it today. I did not designate it in any way or form. It doesn't matter. It does not need any designation. This is rule number one. Kisrei Kodesh do not need designation, even if they have been set aside for business. Mutar l'taltalon, shem devarim shem mitzvah la'asayk bohem or l'hisanek, v'afilu shaloy l'tzorech klal, el l'fanayis. And better, let's say I do not need to daven. I just, they're in my way. I want to move from place to place. These things are mutter. There is no issue whatsoever. This is the greatest leniency in the laws of muksa. Food. Food is never muksa. Never ever muksa. Even food set aside for business. And likewise, sidurim, chumashim, sefarim. There's only one exception to this rule, and that is tefillin. Chutz v'natfillin. The kevim de'osu l'anichim b'shabbos. You're not allowed to wear it till on Shabbos. Also, l'taltalon, if there's no need to move the tefillin, you're not allowed to move. Just because it's still on the table. I'm not using this table. I'm eating in the dining room, and there's a tefillin on the kitchen table. I'm not using the kitchen table, or vice versa. You're not allowed to move the tefillin for no purpose whatsoever. Elo l'tzarech, goyim shlo yiplu, if it's going to fall down, all those type of situations. Tefillin, you have to have a reason to move tefillin, even though they are kodesh.
Halacha.
Yes, if you need this, yes, you need this. Then we have to get into the discussion. Is the talus? Is the talus a basis to the tefillin? Where is the talus underneath the tefillin? How did you package? How did you put the talus in your tefillin bag? Did you put the talus on top of the tefillin, which most people do? Then it's less of a problem. You carefully open up the plastic or open up the bag and you take out your talus. Let's say for some reason the talus, the tefillin are resting on top of the talus. So the talus now is a basis. L'davar ha'asur. So now we have to see later on what to do. That's a bit more complex. Then you have to do it kala'achar yad.
Yeah, you can always.
Or if you have a sitter. Or if you have a sitter, okay, we have to see later on exactly how to deal with it. It's a very common case. And we have to see later on how to deal with that situation. Let's just first go with the principles. Same thing. When it's not, it's a muksa machmas mitzvah. Okay, I don't know. We have to see the practical cases. Okay, it's discussed. Okay, let's go to the boots. Let's try to get on.
You made a point, you prepared to selling it, but if somebody put it up in a box and brought it to the Seamus,
doesn't matter.
Can you take it up?
Yes, you can. Absolutely. If it's in Seamus, doesn't make a difference. It's like selling. You put it aside. Putting it in Seamus, the same thing as the Schoira. You've put it aside. So you want to take out a Seamus to use. Yeah, it's mutter. It's the same thing. Halach gimel, kelim shenach lo yeheter. Okay, category number two. Kelim shenach lo, food utensils. Oh, afil isser uleder. We're going, ka'aros v'sakinim, the koisais, the kaderos, pots. Pots are used, sometimes the pots are used, you keep in the refrigerator to keep the food there. And sometimes the pot is used to cook. When you use the pot to cook, that's a klish shemalach lo yeser. But sometimes the pot is used as storage. You have a soup, and the soup's in the pot, and it's in the refrigerator. I'm not cooking anymore. The cooking was done before Shabbos. The pot now is just holding the food as storage. So it's a kli shemalach to liyisur leheter. Ka'arois, v'sakinim, v'koisais, v'kuderos, afapish, mevashlim, both. You use these things to cook in. Mikol makam, derech l'shtamish bo b'loy v'shul. V'chol kayotzi b'zeb. She'ein adam makse daitam l'shtamish. A person never sets them aside. U'lechein kulam heim muchanim. These things are prepared. Rak, Shirotsu, Chachamim, Ligzar, Shlom, Lefanaisam, Yimakum, Makum, Yisham, Tircha, Yisarik, Moshe, Vyarnu, Ulachain, the Ephraim, Oysel, Litzacha, Kli, Shlo, Yigonev, O Shlo, Yiposeid, Mikar, Vachaim, Yitzibo, Mutu, Latadl, Hamid, Makum, Mishamir. He's saying here the rule is follows. A Kli, Shemelach, Doyle, Heter, is Muksa, believe it or not. You're not allowed to move around pots. Now he does not say a fork and knife. A fork and knife is another exception. Okay, he doesn't sit over here. Halacha lemaisa of cutlery, is that how you pronounce it?
Cutlery
is not muksa at all. It's like food. Cutlery is food. It's absolutely not muksa. You can just play with it. A fork here and a knife here, there's no muksa whatsoever. It's an exception to the rule. It has the same status as food itself. But here he's talking about plates. He's talking about china, pots, koisais. They are muksa, believe it or not, they're muksa. However, if you have any reason whatsoever you want to move it, for whatever reason, I don't want it here, I want it over here, it's not nice. or it's going to get damaged, whatever the reason is, there is no prohibition, you're allowed to move it. It's mutter, like we explained. Mikol makom kelim hanasim miprakim, oy sheyesh bahem charitzim, hadonim liprakim, osur litatlo. Okay, different types of utensils which need to be assembled. A utensil which needs their parts, which need to be put together to make it assemble. This is muksa, even though it's a kli shemalachtoy leheter, but you're not allowed to assemble a utensil on Shabbos. It's doime lebinyin. Binyin kalim, it's not necessarily a din d'oraisa, but it's osur. Osur letatloy, the shema yipo, because of these utensils, even if they are now, everything has been put together, if I move it around, it may collapse. The pieces may be dislodged. Shema yipol v'yisparek v'yachzirenu v'benim so'osa kli b'shabes el im kinderech osa kli liyos rafui. Unless you have a utensil that you're allowed to put together on Shabbos, for example, when it's very loose, kedi isa b'molachas b'ineh. But that's not our topic of discussion. There are certain types of things that you're allowed to put together, certain things you're not allowed to put together. But if you're dealing with a utensil that you're not allowed to put together on Shabbos, that utensil you're not allowed to move. Why are you not allowed to move? Because it may come apart. It'll come apart, you'll come put it back together, and putting it back together will be an Isser Deraiso, an Isser Derabanan. So generally, we learn over here, Yisoid, Kalim, Shemalachtam Leheter, or Leheter, or Leisser, is Muksa. However, it is the most lenient from Muksa. You can move it around for any purpose whatsoever. Not to be confused with cutlery, because cutlery is Mutr Lechatchil, with no exception whatsoever. And not to be confused with the Kalim, which you can take apart, which are meant to be taken apart, which can come apart. Because those indeed will be muksa to move for no purpose, because you may come upon, you may come to put it together, and be over on the malacha deraisa or the rabbanan. Halacha dal, kelim shemachtam lehisr. Now we go to the very common example. And this is probably the most common thing that we have come in every single situation the muksa we deal with, is a kli shemachtam lehisr, your cell phone, your wallet, all the different things that we have in the house, all together, kelim shemachtam lehisr. Kimavur le'el. Before Shabbos begins, a person in his mind says, I'm not going to use this on Shabbos. I'm not going to use a hammer. Because a hammer, what is a hammer used for? To bang nails. Bang nails, this is deraisa. I'm not going to use my cell phone on Shabbos. Cell phone, you know how to make a telephone call on Shabbos. So therefore, I'm putting it out of my mind. Therefore, it's the maksadaita machmas isuron v'gam v'yesh locha shem yevo las melachmem. Now, if you notice here, he's something very, very amazing. He says over here a very powerful lumnus. He says over here first, the second thing he says is that, like we learned from the five reasons, the reason, the second reason of the Rambam, the reason is you may come do melacha. And you may come do malacha, fine. And the first reason, the first thing he says also, because you not only do these things on Shabbos. And notice what he says: the reason why these objects are muksa is not because I can't use them, because using them for you not only do malacha on Shabbos. It's because before Shabbos began, in my mind, this object was off limits. Why is a hammer muksa? You asked me before I saw this, before learning these halachas, I would say, you know why hammer is muksa? Because since a hammer is a kli shemalachtoy le'isser, and you're not allowed to bang your nails on Shabbos, I can't bang nails on Shabbos, so by extension, the hammer is, I can't move the muksa, I can't move the hammer. That's not correct. The reason why you can't move the hammer is because the hammer I can move, it's a kli. It's because before Shabbos began, in my mind, I already saw the future. Shabbos is coming, and on Shabbos, I'm not allowed to bang nails on Shabbos, and you need a hammer to bang nails. So in my mind, the hammer, I have no use for the hammer on Shabbos. It's not that the hammer is inherently osur. I think the average person thinks that the hammer or the smartphone is, you know, it's poison. It's poison. The object itself radiates with prohibition. No, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the hammer. There's nothing wrong with the telephone. What's wrong is with you. Before Shabbos began, in my mind, I can't use it. I have no practical use for it. So in my mind, it's set aside. But if I, in my mind, before Shabbos begins, would say, oh, you know something, I have a use for it on Shabbos, then it wouldn't be muksa, a permissible use for it on Shabbos, I would not be putting it away.
To break nuts?
Right, to break nuts.
Is that
like,
baklodaita?
Oh, so now we have to come to. That's a whole topic of discussion. When you say blood, not blood, that we got to get to practical halachas. But just you have to focus on the lumdus. It's going to change the dynamics of what muksa is all about. And the average person looks at muksa as it's off limits. This is a chefsesh, it's chazer. Can I eat chazer? No. Can I touch this? No. Why? Because this is something you do another air with. No, that's wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. It's Shabbos. There's nothing wrong with it. You can touch it. You're actually allowed to touch muksa on Shabbos. You're allowed to move muksa. If you have a hammer, you can caress the hammer the whole Shabbos. L'chatchila. You can touch it. Like you get someone buys a new smartphone, the Samsung X. What is it called? The Apple X, right?
Enjoy.
Number 10, $1,000. $999. You buy the new iPhone X. iPhone X. $1,000. And it's on the table. The whole Shabbos, you can caress. Ah, I got an iPhone X. But if it will be inherently osur, think about it. If it will be mamish osur, then l'chayru, you can't touch it. It radiates with prohibition. But that's not what muksa is. There's nothing wrong with it. It's before Shabbos began, you plan your day. Shabbos, I can't make phone calls. So I can't make phone calls, I have no use for it. So it's in the mind. So that's why it smokes. But there's nothing wrong with it. Well, my nafkamina, now on Shabbos, I'm going to have a use of my mind. I never was maxed from this purpose. So maybe I can use it. I can move it on Shabbos. Okay, but keep that thought in mind.
I can cover my cell phone, something in the car.
Okay, maybe in a chenayim. Let's see. Okay, let's just remember the halacha. Therefore, here is the chumrah. Here he brings the very big chumrah of muksa. A kli shemalachta li iser. You're not allowed to move in a normal way. I told you, with the elbow, everything's going to be mutter. But in a normal way, you can't pick up in a normal way, even if it's going to get damaged. If I leave it here in this public area, it might get stolen. It might get ruined. One of the children might come and knock it on the floor and destroy it. So therefore, too bad for you. Since before Shabbos began, you put this out of your mind. You're not allowed to move it in a normal way to prevent loss or theft. The loy, again, in an abnormal way, will be mutter. But in a normal, when we talk about mutter, we talk about normal tiltle. The loy tiru el imken hu litzorich Shabbos. The only time you can use a kli, shemalachdel is for Shabbos use goin, lift soya bo egozim. The classic example, a hammer to crack nuts. Ulechasais, I never saw someone use a hammer to crack nuts my entire life on Shabbos. Yeah, you have a nutcracker. A nutcracker. So let's say there is not everyone has a nutcracker in their house. So let's say you don't have a nutcracker, and now it's you have some nuts and you want to break open the nuts. Did you ever see someone use a hammer to break open nuts? Go to the toolkit and break the nuts. I've never. That was the only treat. Pesach, right? Yeah. Pesach. There was no chocolate. There was no. I grew up with walnuts, right? Walnuts. That's all we had. Hazelnuts. So you play with it, games, and this and that. That was all there was. There was no all these. Today, there's more of a Pesach than there is the whole year round. I want to use to cover something. I want a door stopper. It's in the way. We want to eat our Suda Shabbos on the dining room table and the telephone or the hammer is in the way. Dilatashmishim elu enoi mikatsa midat. So he goes back to Lamas. When Friday began, before Friday, Erev Shabbos, when you, in your mind, subconsciously, when you were planning, what am I going to set aside? I'm going to push away. What am I not going to push away? You never pushed away the hammer or the cell phone for, in your mind, knowing that I may need to move it, litzarech gufoi, oi litzarech mekoimoi. Even though now my primary use is for the litzarech hakli, going shaal called panim metalpla litzarech. But okay, but even though, let's say the cell phone is in a place where it's going to get stolen, or it's going to get damaged. So you know what? I really want to move it because I don't want it to get stolen. But you know what? I'm hungry now. So let's have a snack. And you know what? This happens to be the perfect location to have a snack. And it happens to be that the cell phone is in the way. So, you know, you decide now, it's like a trick. It's a subterfuge. I want to move it because I don't want it to get knocked over by the kids. The kids are running around. They're going to knock it over. It's delicate. So you know what? Let's have a snack on this table. So bring out all of the candy and bring out a place setting. Ah, it's in the way. Let's sarach mekaymai so I can pick it up. Once you can pick up muksa, what is the rule? Muksa is not, it's not radioactive. You don't have to drop it the first second. Once you pick up muksa, you're free to go. You can put it down wherever you want. Just don't let go. I pick up muksa, I can climb 20 flights of stairs and put it up exactly where I want in the right drawer. Once you've given the green light to pick up an object of muksa, you can put it wherever you want. So once I want to have a nice meal with my children on this table, and it's in the way, it's a subterfuge. We'll have a snack here. It's in the way. You pick it up. Pick it up. Once I pick it up, let me go for a show to everyone. Look what I got. Look at my new toy. And then you go to the closet, open the closet, you put it down in the drawer, and nice, delicately, you put it down. You put it down where you want to put it down. You have the number 10? You have the X, iPhone X?
No. I don't have such rich kids. But when I pick up my phone...
Yes.
Oh,
it moves. You have the Gravity app, like what I have also. You have the Gravity app, which means that you don't have to, he's so lazy, you don't have to press the button to turn it on. It senses when you pick it on that it goes on. So then you got a problem. Then you can't do it. Then you don't have a choice. It's a grummer. What? You have to turn off the app before the battery has to die by that time. Right, exactly. Okay, that's a pashut. You're dealing with a situation when you pick it up, you're not causing any malacha to happen. You know, today these phones are so sensitive. Even if you don't have any app, I'm really being to wonder. Even if you have no special app and the display doesn't change, I wonder if the sensors are doing things behind your back inside and making calculations. I don't know. The GPS always, this GPS coordinates always lose tracking. So I don't know. I really do not know.
They can know if you have the phone off.
Or, no, off it can't be.
No, they said the phone is off, there's still no use.
But the battery has to be working. The battery has to be working. Okay, so that's a very...
When you turn the phone off...
I understand. The battery still is tracking the GPS. There's an FBI code. If you ever bring in yours, you don't even know how sophisticated these things are. You bring the call to a shop to have it fixed. The guy starts pressing some buttons, and then there's a big sign, warning, FBI, what you're about to do now is in violation of federal law to get the code to go to the inside, the kishkas of the phone. You don't even know what's going on these phones. So you think that it's a very important point. Who knows what's really going on under the hood? Maybe just moving a phone innocently from one room to another room, you're doing malacha the Rabbanan. I don't know. You have to go yesterday on him. What's going on?
My wife goes to the lunchtime every Friday to get the nails. So once she, before she went to move, she opened the phone and the Google was there showing her the closest direction to her nail salon. And she never typed in into it.
Showing the closest direction to what?
To the
nail salon.
Look, I was shocked. On my phone, I installed an app.
When I walk out of here, it tells me that my app automatically, when I turn on my phone, when I leave here, it tells me shortest route to get home.
Yes.
There's no traffic now.
And she never typed in the address of it.
Yeah, it's a new world today. Look, I installed a new app, a new launcher. It's called New Launcher. And all of a sudden, there's a little G on the top over here. So I wonder, what is that little G on the top over here? It's like a new thing for the Pixel phone there. So I pressed it, and all these very interesting articles, like all these very interesting things it has. And the first thing it says, don't forget, a bill is due in 3 days. Yeah, you owe money.
Yeah.
So how in the world did this thing know that the bill is due in 3 days? And then it shows me all these articles, things that are really interesting me a lot. What's going on over here?
Right.
Who's? So I started doing some research. It reads my email. This little, who gave it business? What business does this have? This little device over here, without telling me, I had no idea, is reading all of my email, and I got an email that says the bill is due. So it says, you know, don't forget, the bill is due. It says in your email. oh, I saw your email, someone contacted you about this. Well, let me show you what's doing in the news. Excuse me? Who told you to go read my email to track my location? What? So you're right. So you're saying okay, you're right. So you're right. It's very, you're saying very good. You make a very, very good point. That the example that I gave about moving a cell phone, really, you have to know. I don't know how it works. I don't know. Maybe a lock with smoto. Maybe it's us. I don't know. If you're moving around a cell phone from one room to another, even though to you it appears that it's completely off, who knows what's going on under the hood? Maybe you are causing things to happen which would be a grama. It wouldn't be a deraisa. It wouldn't even be a derabon. It would be a grama. Is it in the spirit of Shabbos to do these things knowing that it's happening? I don't know. Maybe it's permitted. Maybe it's not permitted. It's a very complicated world. Yeah.
So I have a vase
full
of flowers. It's on the dining room table.
A vase is not muksa b'chlal. A vase of flowers is not muksa. Generally, that's totally not muksa. But the klush machal, the issa. A vase is mutter. You're allowed to lose a vase of flowers in Shabbos. People don't know. People think it's osir. It's mutter. But a hammer. The hammer is on the table. It's like a chiddush. Even though the reason why I want to move the hammer is because I don't want it to fall on the floor. And by the kids are running around. The floor is, I don't know, ceramic tiles. And the kid, I know my kids, will push the thing and the hammer will fall and shatter the tile. So I don't want this hammer on the table over here. But so you know what? I make a subterfuge. Let's have a snack on this little table. Bring out the candy, bring out the plates. Oh, it's in the way. So now I can move it. So what's my primary reason for moving it? I don't want it to get damaged. I don't want it to cause damage. That's not an excuse. You're not allowed to move a kli shemalach to liyaser because you're afraid of hefsid. You're afraid of loss. But if I need mekoymoi, I need its place, it's mutter. But my ikur kavana is hefsid. My secondary kavana, it's a subterfuge, is mekoymoi. He's saying that's permitted. You're allowed to go and enter. He didn't say this explicitly. The Mepharshim said this. You're allowed to make a subterfuge in order to move muksa when ordinarily it would be forbidden to do so. And now that you're creating a new need to move the muksa, so gumayu mukaymai. That's the chiddush.
What about a ham? Pick a ham again.
Yeah, we're out of time. Yeah, yeah.
I don't care. I pick a ham with a bunch of papers on my desk. Hammer on top of it shouldn't fly around.
Okay, so that's gufay.
Yeah,
that's a mutter, permitted.
Only if I put the hammer in the dining room, right?
I'm what? No, anywhere. Anywhere. You have a use.
I don't mind me putting the hammer on the kitchen table. But if I put it on the dining room table on Shabbos,
yeah,
it should kill me.
Okay, we're going to stop with Oisei. We'll take a short break and we're going to discuss Myriv, the laws of Myriv. Something Myriv. This week's parasha is the Makar for Myriv.
I've been doing years at Tav Gomer in the morning. I remember him saying, the reports, I remember him saying one time, he went to a shul, he called him up, claimed to say the Torah, and he used the yard.
Yeah.
There was no yard.